DeRosa on a Friday.
Alrighty.
Have you seen him? Has anybody seen him? Because the rumor was yesterday Tom would be in. That was the rumor. Jacob, was that not the rumor yesterday?
That was the rumor.
Yes. Trevor, had you heard the rumor as well?
Yes, he has.
Okay.
I pushed the wrong button.
I pushed the right button. Trevor, have you heard the rumor as well?
Yes.
Thank you. Jacob, make a note never to go Trevor again. Take the music out for a dramatic pause. Thank you. Tom's back!
Sorry to disappoint you, John, but I am here in the flesh.
Ah, that's good. And that's why I brought this anima.
I give you rhetorical enemas every day.
Yes. Okay, you're back. By the way, you look good. You look really good.
All right, yeah, great. Yeah, thanks.
You know, I mean, it's a low bar. All right, here we go. I said, here we go. Hang on.
Have you seen my brace?
Hey, how about that brace of yours over there? By the way, for some reason, we videotaped that. I'll say this one thing before Hannah gets in here. Tom told me yesterday on the air, and I respect this about him, don't make a big deal.
That's right.
Right. And you, people coming by the table, come by the desk, and hello, Tom. And just like Tom takes it, just move on, right?
Yep.
Birthdays, anniversaries, recovering from giant major surgeries involving your knee, just keep going.
That's very true. And I was telling my wife, my wife drove me to work today. Yeah. I'm not up for the bus yet. I'll probably be lifting in for the next week.
Okay.
And I told her, that's the best thing about John is he plays it like I want it to
right.
be played.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. Come on. Just get on with it.
You know, but who loves all the special attention is Hannah Scott.
I'm sure.
All righty, Hannah. Now, were you down there for the big press conference
yesterday? I was not. I did it remotely.
Oh, Dory was all over this. Got all the sound and played all the cuts. And, man, it has caused quite a stink bomb for those people that believe in limited government and power and liberty to the people.
Yeah, you mean the minority.
Unfortunately, yeah, right.
In Olympia, they're in the minority now.
A determines what B will pay C, and this is a perfect example of it, as the governor comes out with his budget. And how big is it?
So $54.4 billion is his proposed two-year budget for 2019 to 2021. Uh-huh. 20% increase over the budget last year.
So was last year's budget $43.7 billion?
Yeah, that was in 2017, that was the budget.
And that was an increase of $5 billion over the previous one.
Yep.
We went 43, and now he's up to 53?
54.4.
Okay.
About a 20% increase, mm-hmm. and it includes nearly $4 billion in new taxes. So. Ah. Among the spending priorities, it's big page, 64 pages, so I'll just kind of run through some of it. Saving the whales is a big deal. The environment, education, mental health. On spending, there's the unprecedented $1.1 billion the governor wants to save southern resident orcas. Uh-huh. $4 billion needed to fund basic education under what was approved for McCleary. And another $1.1 billion in new education spending. So that covers things like early learning, a college help for low-income folks, things uh-huh. like that. He also wants to undo the levy cap lawmakers included with McCleary.
As long as the state continues to meet its obligation to fully fund basic education, I think it is reasonable to restore the ability of local communities to control their own destiny to determine whether their voters want to make additional investments in their schools.
There's also the $268 million for the clean energy package we talked about earlier this week, $675 million for mental health we talked mm-hmm. about this week. There's about $30 million to address the opioid crisis, $246 million for affordable housing, which is a big deal, right? We've all been hearing for some time from Jenny Durkin, Dale Constantine, other local municipalities. The state needs to do something, too. So he's put in this proposal $246 million that would, among other things, include the creation of 2,500 affordable housing units.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a slew of other things in here that he would pay for. As far as how he's going to pay for it, there is a three-tier tax plan that he is proposing that starts with a 9% capital gains tax.
This is a tax geared to very large capital gains. Only a small fraction of our state's wealthiest citizens will be pitching in.
So roughly, it's a little over 42,000 people that is expected to affect that okay. capital gains tax.
Do you want to talk about the fact that it's constitutionally?
Sure. Okay. So he was asked about that at yesterday's press conference. Is it, you know, it's likely going to face a lawsuit? Mm-hmm. He's not too worried.
I will just tell you, I feel very confident that this will pass constitutional muster. I mean, obviously, we always welcome any wisdom from the Supreme Court as long as it agrees with me. So I feel very confident in this regard.
How many times have this been challenged, capital gains? Is it nine?
Nine
times?
I believe it is nine. I believe so.
And so the court could just take what they did for the last nine and hand it to him?
He's very confident. I didn't get a chance to ask him why, but I suspect they would have to go through it again. Mm. Every time we talked to Chris Rakedale about this, too, because he was the one who originally proposed this to pay for education. He talked about it a couple months back, and he's absolutely confident.
Right.
I don't know if you heard him on Dory. Dory's like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it'll have to play out again if it were to pass. And I will tell you this. When I interviewed a lot of the new candidates who did make it through the election who are going to be in the legislature this year, a lot of the Democrats, and every single one of them. So it was six or seven of them that I interviewed that about at least a half dozen made it in and got elected. All of them supported the capital gains tax.
Who's the guy that said it'd be good for education?
Chris Rakedale.
So we say to Chris, hey, Chris, in 2007 to 2009, capital gains as a tax dropped 71% across America. It dropped in as well in 86. It dropped again in 1990. Would you really want to create a revenue stream that is absolutely flexible as capital gains is in order to fund education? So what would you do in from 2007 to 2009 when you lost 71% of your capital gains? How would you then fund those schools? Where would we go to get that? Now, we've increased the expenditures, but then the revenue drops out.
Yeah.
That's the reason that so many states don't use capital gains. New York does, and they get screwed every time.
It's not reliable.
It's not reliable. That's why most of them say, no, we're not doing capital gains. We'll run it off of something else because it doesn't work. Besides, the super rich, how many? 43,000?
Just under 43.
Here's what the 43,000 do when they're super rich. They don't pay capital gains. They move it around. They hide it. They do whatever they possibly can. They go to a good estate planner, and the estate planner gives them all sorts of great ways to get around capital gains. Take your stock, turn it into preferred stock, take that preferred stock, freeze that preferred stock, set up an estate plan so that the money goes to your heirs, and you never pay the capital gains on it. They got all sorts of ways around it. But don't forget, we're going to take this money and spend it on education, even though we've already had a 40% increase of education in the last 4 years. The good news of the whole thing, Tom, and I'll let you say something.
Okay.
Is this. The governor presents his budget.
Right.
The Republicans present theirs. And then the Democrats present theirs. So everybody throws in that he, of course, is going to ask for the sky and the moon.
Senate, the House will do their
Senate, the House, yeah. Right. So everybody's got it in there, and that's the way thing works around, right?
Yep. And it'll all be worked out through this upcoming session. And I expect plenty of pushback, I'm sure, on a lot of these proposals.
Including from the Democrats. I thought it was interesting. The Democrats are saying, listen, that's great, all good, great
good. Starting point.
Yes, but whether it's going to get past the legislature is another thing. Now, it is true the Democrats are in control of both houses, but that doesn't mean that they are going to rubber stamp this. In fact, they thought that the governor's proposals was, was a bit ambitious. But that's fine. I mean, that can be
his
role.
He's running
for president. You're negotiating
he's
a
running
salary,
for president.
Right? Yeah. You're going to ask high and expect in the middle somewhere. So we'll
and also, John, the capital gains tax business is not just for education.
No.
That's what Rakedale, the superintendent, was calling for. But this is just one of the ways that he's going
to
raise taxes.
Oh, so it would be one that would fall apart when the economy hits the skids. It'd be one way the revenue would drop out.
It could be. And think of if it hits the skids and it also rises. And so when you can take advantage of a good economy, maybe that's when you can cash in. It goes up and down. When there are hills and valleys, you're talking about the valleys and there are hills. You're right. It's inconsistent. But if there's money to be had, you can do that.
Well, not if you have expenditures pushed against it. The thing, when they look at these things, they look at what's our total population? How much money do we make in sales tax? Okay, the economy comes in. They see a slight dip in sales taxes, but people still have to eat. They still have to have groceries. But they do not have to sell assets. So they can hold back. If the asset drops, they hold back and they wait. The economy comes back again. But don't forget, your expenses stay the same, or in this particular case, they go up 20% every 2 years. According to the governor, we need 20% increase from 43.
Well, if we went for this
is a big ask. We've got $1 billion for the whales. He points out the McCleary. We made the plan for paying for McCleary last year. We're paying for it now. So the $4 billion of this is to deal with the McCleary legislation. And also, I want to point out the capital gains tax proposal is not the largest. It's not the biggest tax in this that he's proposing. The B&O tax change is, and that B&O tax would go up. It's about 1%. Over, and so that's for services, lawyers, realtors, and things like that.
Right. Who pays? So when the lawyer gets charged an extra 1%, who pays the extra 1%? Does he pass it on to the Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I believe it's I think it goes, the lawyer pays it, but I imagine it gets
passed on. Yeah, it's a pass on. Yeah, so eventually, like water, all taxes go to the lowest point, and that's to the individual. Yeah.
Real estate excise tax change as well that would affect homes of worth more than $1 million.
Yeah. And who would pay that? The person ends up buying.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, got it. All right, anything else, Tom?
No, I think it's good. It's ambitious. It is true. A big chunk of that 20% is because of the McCleary decision.
Yes.
I think the most controversial thing, I heard you talking with Dave Ross about it too, is that what the McCleary did was, McCleary decision said every school district gets about the same. I mean, we need to equalize these school districts because we need to provide basic education. And now he's offering, in his suggestion, he says, hey, we should allow every district to raise more money on top of that. And the question is, will that make for an imbalance or not? And I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think Inslee's saying, listen, all we're guaranteeing is a basic modicum, like the floor. Yeah. And then if there are people that want to pay for more, we should allow them to pay for more.
Lift the levy from what, 1 point something to 2 point something? You lift the levy in order to be able to tax?
There's some changes in what he's proposing. It would basically take it back to what it was in 2017.
Okay.
It does away with the grandfathering in and things like that. If anyone listening knows what that references. Again, we have a really big story on My Northwest that explains it.
Okay.
It's hard to do on the air, but I will say what that would allow local districts to do is request a levy of the combined federal and state dollar or state revenue that they have, 28% of that. And there's also 14% equalization from the state.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Again, you can get an explainer on mynorthwest.com.
For thing like arts and music and theater and that kind of stuff.
Okay. But his point is that this came down very late when the legislature came down with the way they were going to do McCleary and these changes to the levy cap. He wasn't a levy cap. He wasn't necessarily on board, but they had to get this done.
Right.
He has always believed, he says, that it should be that the local school districts should be able to ask for this. And remember, this is a huge deal with all those school districts that just paid all their teachers all this money, right?
That's right. And now
we need our ability to ask our people for the levy. So
I always think of a little town like Squim, where most of the people are retired and most of them don't have kids. So every time they ask for, you know, an additional bond or something to build the school or room for the, they're like, nope. I mean, it gets shot down like you wouldn't believe. And they're like, and for the parents that are there with the kids, they're like, well, can we get something for the schools? But the majority of the people that are retired said we don't need to fund it. Yeah. We've already paid for our kids' schools. We're in our 60s and 70s. We don't care about your school.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that not all 60s and 70-year-old people feel that way. But you're right.
Apparently they do.
That's why, but McCleary makes sure that the kids in Squim get that kind of basic education.
And so as long as we're doing the basic, we're meeting what the Supreme Court said, and we're good to go. Everything else is gravy.
Thank you, Hannah. I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm always amazed at how government continues to expand to help other people. Because if you can make them dependent, you can count on their loyalty. Make them dependent. I'm going to pay for your college. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. All I ask for in return is your vote. And the person goes, I'll vote for you if you take the money from somebody else and give it to me all day long, right? When you go rob Peter to pay Paul, you're not going to hear Paul complain.
You're shouting into the wind, John.
No, I'm not, Tom. You know what? The majority of people listen to talk radio are with me.
Okay.
Seriously.
Maybe that's true. Then you're just preaching to the choir.
What's up with the choir? The choir's got other crap to do. They're on their phones while I'm preaching to them. All right. Michael Cohen sits down with George Stephanopoulos, and they talk on Good Morning America. Cohen responds to Trump's explanation for why Cohen pleaded guilty. He says... Ready, he says.
I know which tweets you're talking about. First of all, it's absolutely not true. I did not do it to embarrass the president. He knows the truth. I know the truth. Others know the truth. And here is the truth. The people of the United States of America, the people of the world, don't believe what he's saying. The man doesn't tell the truth. And it's sad that I should take responsibility for his dirty deeds.
Okay. You want to hear just
true?
A bunch?
What? Yeah, I mean, I think we should hear a couple more, but do you think that's true that most of us, because I know you voted for Trump, you still support
he's
Trump
a liar.
Enough. Okay, and you acknowledge that
he's
lying.
A total scumbag.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love the fact that he's showing everybody, you know what, doesn't matter who's in the White House, the economy still clunks along pretty darn good. Stephanopoulos asked Cohen about Trump's claim that he never told Cohen to do these things.
He's saying very clearly that he never directed you to do anything wrong. Is that true?
I don't think there's anybody that believes that. First of all, nothing at the Trump Organization was ever done unless it was run through Mr. Trump. He directed me, as I said in my allocution, and I said as well in the plea, he directed me to make the payments. He directed me to become involved in these matters, including the one with McDougal, which was really between him and David Pecker. And then
that was in 2015, by the way. They had that meeting, Tom. I looked it up.
Which meeting?
That was the National Enquirer and Trump's people. It was 2015, prior to him running for office.
See, but this, they said the payments happened after the campaign.
Well, the original setup of it, when they talked, I'll tell you what we'll do, buy the story from her and spike it.
Okay.
Yeah.
David Pecker's counsel, I just reviewed the documents.
Okay. Did Trump know what he's doing? Was he legal? You got to get intent in there.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
And he was doing that to help his election?
What did he do that was wrong? He paid somebody?
Yeah, he did those.
Is that to influence the election?
Yes. I mean, the idea was that he was paying these people right before, I think it was in, you know, a couple months before the election. I mean, he'd already gotten his the nomination secured.
Did he pay out of his own personal funds, or did it come out of the campaign funds?
It came out of Michael Cohen's funds.
Okay.
That's what was the dispute. And he claims, I know nothing about that. Ask Michael Cohen. And now Michael Cohen says, well, no, I did it on his direction. And then he reimbursed me.
Oh, okay. And did he pay out of his campaign funds or out of his personal funds?
I don't know where the money came from.
That's not good. You got to know where it's... Because if he's taking money...
The prosecutors know, and they found that this was felonious, John.
No.
That he did pay to influence the election. You cannot do that. You cannot pay hush money to influence the outcome of election, which is what Cohen has attested to. And yes, he's a liar, but as Cohen... I don't know if we have that cut or not. Cohen says, believe me, the Mueller investigation has all sorts of information to back up my own claim.
I saw the former chairman of the Federal Elections Commission by the name of Bradley Smith has written a piece saying that these payments are not illegal. And because if it comes, first of all, if it comes out of his own money, he's not pulling out of the campaign funds. It's his own money. He had these expenses prior to. He had the expenses in 2015. It was an expense. It was an expense before with Stormy Daniels. So the thing is do you really want to impeach Trump on campaign charges?
If we can,
because the Russia thing's falling apart.
It's not. First off, we haven't that shoe hasn't dropped, John. I mean,
you
we just have to
a
wait.
Shoe, Tom.
Oh well, maybe not.
That's why they're doing this.
It's so Stormy Daniels. Why is he so concerned?
Who?
Why is the president so concerned? They said even last night he's now admitting to people that he's afraid that he could face impeachment charges.
Yes.
And the thing is that the only reason we'd have to impeach is because if you can't indict somebody for committing a series of felonies, the Constitution says, you know, if he's a sitting president, you may not be able to indict him. That's disputed. But if you don't, then your option is to impeach. Like, it's almost a directive that you should try to impeach. Do I think it's personally worth impeaching him for these campaign finance laws?
Yeah.
I think personally, probably not, because you have to get enough of the American public behind you. And so far, the Republicans having a broken rank for them. But the more that this stuff comes out, I think it's getting more and more damaging. It's going to be.
I think the thing about it is Americans looked at it, the Russian collusion. Well, that's sort of scary. Is he meeting with Putin? And what are they doing and trying to influence this and that? So that falls apart. So I'll tell you what to do.
Why do you
we're
think
gonna
it's
go after, because, Tom, that's why they're putting all this attention on Stormy Daniels and going after
it's
Cohen.
It's not all this attention. That's the Southern District business, right? No. The thing is, they've now had like 7 or 8 instances of Trump campaign staffers dealing with the Russians. It's a lot more solid
than I expected.
Yeah,
you can deal with the Russians. Not
if you're making kind of arrangements. And right now, David Pecker with the AMI said that, he was doing it in order to influence the election.
Uh-huh.
If you end up having all these connections, why were they meeting with the Russians to get dirt on Hillary Clinton? That is campaign connected. There are all sorts of connections. Now,
Hillary went to the Russians to get dirt on Trump. What's the difference? Did Hillary go to the Russians to get dirt on Trump?
Yes, she did.
It's called the Steele dossier.
John, I know, and the Steele dossier is a lot more than not. Oh, my God.
Laura's home loans. Still debating whether or not to give the nose enema today. I heard from a ear, nose, and throat guy said don't, and I demonstrated it during the commercial break. Tom, what'd you think?
Well, you wetted the carpet. I'll give you that.
Thank you. We got to do something. People pay $15,000 to watch us talk into microphones. Jacob's hair isn't going to be enough for everybody.
Well, you know, I think that we should leave it up to their vote.
Oh, as to whether or not I should stick something up my nose? It's supposed to go to a different part of me? All right.
That's right. I suppose we could do it the traditional way.
I'm not helping with that one.
Laura's home loan sponsor.
Oh, my God.
Just withdrawn her support. 833-ASK-LAURA. We've turned into our morning show. Good morning, Big Bang. It's the morning zoo. With John back. Let's see. Dude, seriously, I am concerned.
With?
Well, the fact that they paid a lot of money. They're coming in here. Yeah. And then you look at what we got. Really don't have a lot. You, I thought it would be a worse looking thing than you got. You don't have that big.
Yeah, I can hunch over more like a hunchback if you prefer.
I'd like some blood coming out of your leg.
You could give him a chance to sign Tom's cast.
Whatever we can come up with. Jacob, get your hair more messed up. All right, let's get going. A guy who works at Walmart and gets upset. I watched a video of it. And he's got his phone there. He's looking down at the phone to make sure it's running. And then he picks up the intercom, and then he makes this speech.
Attention, all shoppers.
By the way, he's reading this.
Associates and management, I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here, ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and
Cora called him a waste of time.
That Cora.
Management did nothing to help. Management will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a full-time associate down to part-time.
Thanks, Obama. That's why they did that. They cut out all this full-time down to part-time, so they didn't have to pay their medical.
Even though he worked 40-plus hours a week, I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of bogus write-ups and my job. Management. This job, Walmart.
How long did they cheer him for? I couldn't tell in the video.
As he starts to walk, not terribly long.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just
we cut out the cursing that he did.
That's right. A couple of curses. So I don't know if he's being heralded as some great.
6,000 people have watched him.
Is that right?
That's
okay.
It.
So yeah, it's the thing about this is that they said that he made sure he had secured a job somewhere else before he did this. But I can imagine, I don't know what other job it was, but I can imagine if this thing did really go viral enough that their new employer saw it, they might say, hey, we don't want this joker on.
Right.
Who knows if he'll turn against us.
But Chai, it won't go viral because there's not enough of it. If the manager had come up to him and tried to take the phone away, and then he hits him in the head with that, and then the manager slips him like a big thing of laundry detergent, and then someone else comes along. I mean, and then there's a big melee. That would be good. But this guy is standing there quitting over a PA system and is not going to do it. I did the same thing when I worked at a Super Fresh supermarket in Gladwin, Pennsylvania. I couldn't stand working there anymore.
And
I told you that I paid my friend Jim Farley $10 to quit for me, and he ended up caving on the phone to Dolly. And I go downstairs. I said, did you quit? Because I couldn't quit. Could you quit? Did you quit for me? God, no. She started screaming at me. I said, I know. She's really she's harsh. She's really harsh. I know. She started yelling at me. I didn't know what to say. So I agreed to work Sundays. I said, you agreed to work Sundays? That's me. She thought you were me. You've got me working Sundays now? He goes, it was the only thing I could say to stop her from yelling at me. I'm like, that's my job. I just gave you $10 to quit. So I went in. I worked for like another 3 months. I thought, I'm going to quit.
Wow.
I'm going to quit. And I'm going to do it this way. She hated any nonsense on the PA system. I dialed 191 or whatever it was. She was way in the back doing something gross. And I got on the thing and I went, Dolly, Deli, no, Dolly, Deli, which is Dolly, Deli. Her name is Dolly. And it was the deli. I needed her to come to the deli. I went, Dolly, Deli, Dolly, Deli, which is a normal thing you hear at the Super Fresh supermarket in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I added, Dolly, Deli. And I realized this is my opening. Dolly, Deli. No dilly dally to the Dolly Deli. Don't dilly dally, Dolly, on your way to the deli. Dally, Dolly. Don't do it. Don't do that. Don't dilly dally.
Such a
And
word,
she
Smith.
Came running up. I knew it was good. Where else you going to get dilly dally?
Yeah, exactly.
And she ran up the aisle, up aisle four, and came up and fired me. And I was like, good. Thank God. There, I'm done.
Oh, she fired you?
She just screamed at me and fired me. Screamed at me and made me come in and work Mondays. No, she came in and yelled at me. And that was it. I went out. That was my big goodbye.
Why was the great young John Curley intimidated just telling her that you were going to quit?
Because I have like a weird thing of like disappointing people. And I didn't want to, even though I hated her, I didn't want to be like, I that's the way. And then most of my girlfriends and stuff, I never broke up. I just kept going out with them, and then they were always forced to break up. It's a thing about being rejected. It's a middle child phenomenon. You don't know that?
No, I'm the oldest. I have no idea what
you're
talking
about.
But
you have a sense of obligation, like to a job. Have you ever quit a job?
Never,
right. Even if it's a crappy job, you keep doing it.
No, I mean, I had to quit a job here to take this job. So, yeah, I guess I did.
What was your other job?
I was managing a movie theater. I was a union projectionist and a movie theater manager.
Okay, but that's different in that you...
I went to a completely different profession.
That's true. Have you ever quit a job, Jacob?
I don't think so.
You feel bad about it if you had to quit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'm similar in terms of I'll just wait for the person to break up with me.
There you go. You keep going. You just keep going. Hey, find
girls of America, Jacob has a message for you.
You just become more and more morose until they leave you alone.
Right. They're like, what's wrong? You're like, nothing. Yeah. Do you not want to date me? No, I didn't say that. Yeah. You make them pull the trigger. In fact, workers are now ghosting employers, and that's a bad idea. This is from the Washington Post. Ghosting is a term normally reserved only for dates that don't go well. In this case, workers are just simply, are they not saying, hey, I'm not coming in or I'm not taking the job? They're just not responding.
They disappear. They are beyond contact. They shut off all forms of contact. So ghosting for people my age, maybe that don't know what ghosting is. It's like if you're dating somebody and all of a sudden you don't break up, and it's worse than breaking up over, you know, an email or a text or something. You just disappear. Yeah. You just suddenly are not available to be contacted. That happens in the dating realm these days, I've been told. And now workers are starting to do that. And that's because the job market is so strong right now that people, and again, we're talking mostly, these are not high paid, you know, professional jobs for the most part.
Yeah.
They tend to be the entry level positions. It's like you're working at one crappy entry level job and you got something that pays you maybe 50 cents more. You just disappear. You don't want to go through the hassle. And they say, why don't you just tell them you're quitting? And he says, oh, because then it'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I feel guilty. They would yell at me. Everything that you just said.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just shook my head and said, I don't understand this. But yeah, the idea is that it's easier. This generation is not good with face-to-face, let alone phone calls.
And conflict.
And so, and conflict. Is that right? Yeah. So the idea is to just disappear is easier. It's now a trend. They don't say how much, but they just a quick check with employers say it's happening more and more. Doesn't mean it's a majority.
Quick question as we go to the break. A guy I talked to yesterday at PCC Market, he's a checker there. He's got a great voice. He applied for a job here as a weekend anchor.
Okay.
But he messed up the dates and came the wrong date. He came a day later, and they said basically don't bother reapplying. Would you tell him to reapply?
Yeah, I'd give him, that's one shot. But the problem is, that's really important. It's like in radio, you got to do the day
right now. Should he reapply or not?
Oh, I would reapply. I don't know if we will, you know, reconsider, right, but I think he should reapply.
Okay, come right back. Tom McCurley, we're going to have to do a reenactment of this. It happened in, where's Andrew? Do you have your English accent ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
I know, an English accent.
St. Ives. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, come right back. It's time for a reenactment because we don't have any. We have any sound of the Santa Claus going nuts?
Not the real one.
No, okay. All right. So we do this. Let's bring Andrew in to play the part of Santa Claus. There is some profanity used by Santa Claus. First of all, he has an English accent.
Of course.
So give me a Santa Claus, a ho ho ho, in an English accent.
Ho ho ho.
Okay, good. All right. So at some point he used
Fae Santa Claus.
Tom, he doesn't know what the word Fae means.
I'm trying here.
Okay. No, he's I English. Love it.
He's a stiff upper lip.
That's right. That's okay. Very English. Right. Fae.
Don't start picking apart. Wait till he's done. Don't make him vulnerable now. So let him reveal himself.
I'm just so anxious because I haven't seen Andrew in all these months.
We went through an ugly beard, no beard, uglier beard. Now he's back to normal. All right, here we go. So so you play Santa, and here's the thing. Santa Claus swears like a bunch. He uses the F word. So we're going to replace the F word with a sponsor, Bucky. So we use Bucky instead. So every time Santa Claus yells out the F word, you're going to say Bucky. And if you want, you can say Bucky's Auto Service Center, the sponsor in the next section, okay?
Okay.
All right. But again, English accent, don't use the F word. Trevor will have to drop the button on you. And that's the way. And by the way, how Trevor works the buttons, there's a pretty good chance that F bomb.
I know how this works, John. Okay. I've done the buttons before.
I know, but Trevor hasn't. All right. Tom's going to read the story, and we'll reenact it for you. It's like you're there. Where's it happening, Tom?
It's happening at St. Ives, England, a neighborhood Christmas party.
Okay.
There are about 50 kids in a quaint community center with their parents, eagerly waiting a chance to see Santa and his chef snowman. Mm-hmm. We're going to give them each a free present.
Yes.
However, underneath, in the floor below, in this very same building, there is a family-friendly rave going.
A rave,
yes. A bunch of kids are dancing around, you know. And they decide, hey, you know what's going to really make this rave live?
We are going to set off a fog machine. A fog machine, no doubt. Oh, my God, look at that. And what happens is that fog machine heats up the place so much that it sends off the fire alarm.
A fire alarm?
The fire alarm.
Then what happens?
The fire alarm for the entire building goes off. And so now, practically one by one, very calmly, the parents are moving the kids at the Christmas party
who are there
to see Santa. They're going outside to get outside the building because there's a fire alarm.
Oh, so the kids are leaving quietly.
They're leaving quietly
there
with their
go.
Parents very
okay.
systematically. Right. And then...
What happens?
The guy who's playing Santa Claus freaks out.
What do you mean he freaks out, Tom?
He rips off his Santa Claus outfit and he starts screaming at the kids.
Hold on. He's yelling at the kids. What's he saying?
Blimey, there's a fire! Get the Bucky out of here, you Bucky kids! Are you deaf? Bucky, go already! Do you want to die? Go!
And then what happens?
Kids are in tears, not because they were afraid of the fire, which turned out not to be the case.
Uh-huh.
They were afraid of this maniac Santa Claus who's just destroyed their illusions, and he yells the F word.
Get the fucking out of here!
So they were okay.
They were okay.
And then they started screaming.
But not in spirit. Their spirits have been crushed. Now, the organization, the St. Ives Party throwers, decide we're going to do this again next week and see if it goes better.
By the way, did he rip his beard off?
I'm sure he did. He scandalized the kids, and will the kids ever be able to recover to have the innocence of youth again restored next week in St. Ives at the Quaint Community Center in St. Ives, England?
And it's all because of those kids
at the rave. A family-friendly rave. I can't imagine what that is.
I don't know. Oh, my, oh, my. All right, there. Andrew, let's do a quick recap of who starred. Andrew played the part of Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. Tom is a narrator.
That's all right. Hey, hey, hey.
Jacob and I did a crappy job on the sound effects. What was this one?
That was just kids playing. There's just kids in line waiting to sit on Santa's lap.
All right. All right. Let's see. We got a whole bunch of other stuff to get to.
There's more?
Again, don't forget. We got people coming in.
Yes, that's right.
By the way, I put that enema thing in my mouth. Well, at least the worst taste in your mouth. I can't imagine.
Imagine
like,
that.
I know. Right. Did somebody use that before? Right back.